Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, last night saw the longest presidential speech to lawmakers on record. It comes as the US President Donald Trump promised to introduce reciprocal tariffs on imports from all countries in the world on April 2nd, slash the federal workforce, crack down on immigration and shake up the transatlantic alliance over the war in Ukraine. Well, let's get more on this now. I'm joined by Anthony Gardner, former US ambassador to Europe. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. We've just been discussing tariffs with one of our own ministers here and the impact that they'll have on the United States, potentially here in the US, in the EU, when they land, Anthony. And I mean, Donald Trump was downplaying the impact of those tariffs on his own people. But how do you think he's going to cope if markets continue to fall and Americans have less money to spend?
Well, he doesn't believe that will occur. He said, and I'm quoting, the tariffs will cause a little disturbance. Well, that's rather diplomatic. What's been announced is the most dramatic increase in tariffs since the Smoot-Hawley tariffs announced in the 1930s. Now, he probably will also announce tariffs against the EU. He did mention the so-called fair and reciprocal tariff plan, which is nothing to do really about reciprocity. It gives the president actually powers, unlimited powers, to decide foreign countries are doing things in tariff, in non-tariff areas, so not just VAT and tax, but let's say on regulation, he considers to be discriminatory and therefore could attract the wrath of the United States. So we're really going into uncharted waters. So to answer your question, I do suspect that what we've seen in the last 24 hours, markets have gone down. I think that will continue. A lot of volatility, higher inflation for sure. I mean, every economist really has said that if he carries through, which is likely on his tariff plans, there will be a significant increase in inflation, which will lead the Federal Reserve not to cut rates.
Mm-hmm. But he will have foreseen this. He will have known that this was going to happen, certainly in the short to medium term. He must feel, perhaps, that his stock is high with the American people, with those who support him, that they can bear it.
Yes, you're right. So he said repeatedly in the speech, I have a massive mandate. He exaggerated the mandate, you know, but he said, look, I won all swing states, which is correct. He says, I massively won the popular vote, which is not correct, but he thinks he has a mandate. But more importantly, he doesn't believe there's a downside, and he thinks to his back to his first term, where, by the way, tariffs were much less aggressively used. He said, look, inflation didn't go up in the first term. They're not going to go up now. What's everyone concerned about? He is surrounded by a few advisors who are probably concerned and are whispering in his ear, be careful, this could have an impact. But he's not listening to them. I think that's quite clear.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Warren Buffett, the renowned investor, who doesn't know everything, but he is a renowned investor. I mean, he called these tariffs an act of war. Is that how Trump sees them?
He thinks he can win. This is the point. He says tariff, you know, trade wars are wonderful and easy to win. And he thinks it because of the size of the U.S. economy. And on the other side of the table, he sees a divided, weak European Union. He doesn't believe there's going to be act really of retaliation. The last time it happened, 2018, really wasn't, you know, very impactful. Remember, there were counter tariffs in the EU against Harley Davidson's bourbon and corn and so on, other things. It didn't really amount to much. But this time, what he doesn't realize or hasn't been told, the EU has an arsenal ready to respond. Now, the question is, will the EU actually respond, or is it too politically divided to use those weapons in its arsenal?
Yeah, and what is the right way to respond? I mean, what is your own view on that? The Minister, Peter Burke, we were speaking to there just before the break, said that'll be the time for negotiation. But there are those, as you mentioned, who are ready to go with reciprocal tariffs from the EU. What's the best strategy?
I'm pretty sure that there will be a mixture of responses. One of them will be counter tariffs, because how could one not, right? If you really actually want to get to negotiating table, you actually show that you're serious, right? And being serious with a man like Donald Trump, who claims to love, you know, hammering out deals, you have to say, okay, this is what we can do. And by the way, pay attention to us, because the EU although not a superpower in many senses, is a superpower in trade and has real weight. So for sure, hitting against the usual targets and beyond, perhaps even beef, maybe even beef, hitting perhaps even corporations and individuals, which it can do. I'm thinking of Elon Musk and Tesla. They can do it under the anti-coercion mechanism. If it really wants to get Trump's attention, and frankly, I'm somewhat doubtful, they could use the international procurement instrument, which would limit access of U.S. companies to the very large EU public procurement market. That would be huge. And then there are a whole bunch of other asymmetric things I think the EU is considering that would get his attention.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think the EU won't do that, won't use that procurement instrument you mentioned?
Well, it's pretty close to a nuclear weapon. It's a very powerful instrument. There are going to be many member states who will say, negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. We really can't be doing this. And they're quite rightly saying this is an act of self-harm on both sides, by the way. I mean, tariffs don't help anybody. The point is, though, there will be other member states saying, if you're not serious and show that there's a loaded weapon on the table, the European Union will be eaten for lunch. Mm-hmm. There'll be a debate at the table about what's the right strategy.
And then when it comes to Ukraine, I mean, President Zelensky now saying that he's willing to sign that mineral agreement, the fact there's no security guarantee linked to that, how important do you say it is for Europe to understand how the relationship has really changed with the United States?
Oh, it's changed fundamentally. I mean, look, that scene in the White House as an American citizen, I can tell you, is as profoundly shocking as it was for Europeans. I mean, no head of state, even the head of state of a enemy country, should be treated like that. It was almost kind of gangster style, strategy. Things have changed dramatically, unfortunately. I think the mineral deal should be signed, because it's a way of locking in this White House and giving it a sense of an economic stake in a stable, prosperous, hopefully, a country, Ukraine, with recognized borders. Now, the point is, those numbers are made up. The $500 billion is a made-up number. We don't have a clue, actually, the value of the materials of rare earths in Ukraine today. And it'll take a long time and a lot of money to extract them. But the point is, get Donald Trump interested in protecting Ukraine and in providing some sort of a backstop yet to be defined for European forces.
I wonder, have you any advice for our Taoiseach, our Prime Minister, Micheál Martin, who's going to the Oval Office to meet Donald Trump this day next week? Already we're on notice because Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, said a number of weeks ago that it's nonsense that Ireland, of all places, runs a trade surplus at our expense. So how does Micheál Martin handle that meeting?
No, that's a good question. Well, look, anyone going to the Oval Office now should know that playing to his ego works. Now, unfortunately, you don't have a royal family to trot out or a visit to Balmoral you can offer. But, things like that to play to his ego will work. He probably should be reminded, yes, the goods trade shows a pretty significant surplus. But in terms of IP services, it looks much, much more balanced. There are a lot of pharma companies, big in Ireland, obviously, who have announced significant investments in the United States, which is probably good. You'll be happy about that. Ireland has decided to step up its defense spending, even from very modest levels, which he's going to like. And look, you're not on the hit list like Germany, so you're in a better position for sure.
Mm-hmm. Not on the hit list. Not yet anyway, Anthony, but let's see how it goes. Thank you so much for being with us. Anthony Gardner is the former US ambassador to Europe. Coming up, Professor Luke O'Neill explains why dementia might be linked to an aging immune system. And next up, Maura Fey reports on the massive growth of Gaelic mothers and others. That's all on the way.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.